Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hi, listeners. I'd like to invite you to visit our website at organicgardenerpodcast.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, download our ebook on organic gardening basics, and get started on building your very own organic oasis today. Hey, everyone. I'm going to talk today about the five things I learned from growing sunflowers this year. So it's just going to be a short episode, and just I'm going to go through the lessons that I learned. A lot of you have been listening. If you've been listening, if this is your first day, well, my challenge this year for 2015 was to grow 750 sunflowers and harvest 2,000 blooms. In 2010, I bought this book by Lynn Bozinski called The Flower Farmer. And that first year, I tried to plant like a flower garden like she lays out in the book. And it has like all these different flowers in it. Zinnias and echinaceas and I can't remember what else. But I planted it in kind of a shady area. I probably didn't water it enough. That was before we had our well. I don't know. It just didn't grow very well for me. So after studying the book for about two more years, I finally planted 75 sunflowers in 2013. And that went awesome. And I was able to harvest over 200 sunflowers that year from those seeds. I don't know if there were more seeds in the pack than supposed to, or most of them had a lot of blooms on them and just they were good harvesting sunflowers, and they were just beautiful, and I shared them with lots of friends, and I had some lots for myself, and that went really good. I ended up picking sunflowers for a variety of reasons. One thing I really like about sunflowers is the seeds are really large. I really hate planting tiny seeds. Things like carrots just make me cringe. They have those itty bitty tiny little seeds. They're hard to spread out evenly. I always end up with like 10 of them in like one spot. Even if I have like a row dug out all nicely for me, it just seems like they always cluster together. I've tried those little seed spreading tools, but they seem to stick in the thing and clumped up, and I'm always pulling it apart and stirring them around and then putting it back together, and I don't know. So I just haven't had good luck. I found the best thing for planting small seeds is to have the grandkids come over and plant them. They're best for tiny little hands. Radishes are a little better than carrots, but they're still fairly small. You know, lettuce, tiny seeds, but I have good luck with lettuce. Sunflowers are so nice because they have big seeds. You can figure out where you want them. I rarely ever get them too close together. I've always had good luck. I love the big seeds. Another reason I plant sunflowers is that the book said that they're one of the best flowers to sell to florists and supermarkets. It says that sunflowers are difficult to transport, and so therefore locally grown, especially organic flowers, tend to look so much better when you walk into the shop. The person who's in charge of purchasing the florists usually like them right away as soon as they see them. Sunflowers also, she said, get a large price per bloom. Like, I think it said about 75 cents to a dollar. I'm not sure about that because when I looked at bouquets in the store this summer, it seemed like they were about $9.99 and had probably a dozen blooms in them. So I don't know, but it still seemed like sunflowers had a pretty good price. I never ever actually managed to take any to the stores to try to sell. I love to eat sunflower seeds on my salads. Another reason I like to grow sunflowers. So having my own sunflower seeds to roast would be a cool bonus. And then Mike and I totally spend a fortune on sunflowers every winter feeding the birds. We usually go through like 2 to 3 giant bags of the black oil sunflower seeds to feed all the birds that come to our home. We get chickadees, nuthatches, grosbeaks, western tanagers, woodpeckers, magpies, bluebirds. We just get a ton of birds. So sunflowers seem like a really good fit for me. So, like I said, back in 2013, I grew 75 sunflowers. This year, I decided I was going to grow 750 sunflowers, 10 times that amount, and harvest. I was hoping to harvest 2,000, but I didn't come close to that. I thought because, you know, now we have water. If you haven't listened to my show, you would know. Like, Mike and I dug a big well, a deep well, the year before last. And this was our first year to really have as much water as we wanted to water our garden. So Mike grew a mini farm full of vegetables, and I grew all these sunflowers. And they were beautiful. It was so fun. And they got so tall, and there were tons of places of sunflowers, and I just loved it. Here's the important lessons that I learned. Oh, yeah. And then I only actually harvested like a dozen sunflowers. I don't know. I just ended up letting the bees eat. You know, they had fun down there, and just it was just nice to see them in the garden. And I don't know. Here's the lessons that I learned. Lesson number one, read the packets. Know what you're planting. Make sure you study the days to bloom and also how tall are they going to be. If they're going to be tall, you want to put them in earlier. I thought I planted the ones that took the longest amount of time first, but certainly I planted the tallest ones first, and they should have probably gone in the ground way sooner. I planted them on Earth Day, April 22nd. I think I should have planted them the first week in April. Many of the sunflowers I planted, I didn't even get into the ground till June. And although they all have bloomed, I doubt many of them are going to go to seed. It seemed like almost all of my sunflowers also bloomed within like 2 to 3 weeks of each other instead of throughout the whole summer and the fall. So my big lesson number one was read the packets. Know what you're planting. Lesson number two, variety matters. I just had Lisa Ziegler, who wrote Cool Flowers, which is a book about planting hardy annuals. And she was just on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she recommended pro-cut organic sunflowers that are pollenless. She sells them in her store online, which I'll put the link on the website in the show notes. And she also they also sell the other seeds she grows in her flower farm. Some of my sunflowers wilted really quickly after I put them in water, and Lisa said that the pro cuts are the longest lasting sunflowers in a vase. They'll last up to like 2 weeks. So that was another reason she likes the pro cuts. So she talked about pollenless sunflowers, and they still get tons of bees. They still have nectar, but they just, for some reason, they last longer. Okay, so variety matters. Make sure you know what variety of sunflower you're getting. You can't just put anything in the ground. Lesson number three. I also realized that the size of the bloom made a big difference. They really varied. Some were huge, some were small, some were medium. The smaller ones were actually the best to cut. I planted a lot of birdseed sunflowers, which means like I took our black oil sunflower seed that we bought for the birds and grabbed like a coffee can full. Well, not even a coffee can full, like, I don't know, a few handfuls. And that's where I planted 350 of those. And those were the ones I cut the most from my bouquets that I brought into the house. I had plenty of those sunflowers. I easily could have brought a bouquet in every 3 days, almost all the summer. But pretty much I left them to the bees, and actually I really want to have some for birdseed. I'm hoping they're all going to go to seed enough for the birds. I think the first ones I planted were my Martha Stewart Organics, and they grew to be like 12 feet tall. They were huge. I won the tallest sunflower at the Lincoln County Fair. It was 11.5 feet. All right. So maybe they were like mostly 10 feet, but they seem really tall. But they took forever to bloom, and their blooms are huge. They're the biggest diameter sunflowers. So I think the ones that are going to make the best seeds are actually the sunflower seed ones that I planted. They had the prettiest blooms. Oh, the prettiest blooms actually were the ones with the dark centers. They were mostly some burpee, some organic and non-organic, just some burpee sunflower seeds that I bought at Home Depot. And they came like 12 and 25 in a pack. None of those packs really had, like the Martha Stewart ones, there were like 75 sunflowers in one packet. They were a really good deal. The Burpee ones had way less in the packets, and they were very pretty. Like I said, they were some of the prettiest sunflowers. They had really dark centers, but, I just didn't get very many of those, and they kind of bloomed late, like right at the end of the season. I've been just so busy. I haven't even been down there. And the bees love those. One thing I want to say, my stepdaughter, I gave her a bouquet of flowers, and she said, these are the best smelling sunflowers ever. So we did do good with fresh smelling sunflowers. Okay, lesson number four. When you cut the blooms, it makes a big difference in how long they're going to last in the vase. Now, I should know this because I buy a lot of daffodils in the spring, and I will only buy the closed ones because they last longer. And I also think it's super fun to bring them home and have a big blooming bouquet on your table in the morning. And I also like to give these bouquets away. I think they're fun to give as gifts. You want to make sure when you cut your sunflowers, you cut them before they bloom. I have been cutting the ones that were already bloomed already. I don't know what I was thinking. I just would go down there and see what was fresh instead of cutting something that was about to bloom. I cut them after they'd already bloomed. Okay, and lesson number five, plant earlier. Start the first week in April if possible. Now that's for me in my zone four, I think. I usually think I need to have them in the ground by Earth Day, and I think that's for sure. As soon as the ground can be worked. So if I can get them in April, I might even try some in March. I don't know. Probably. I mean, it all depends. Who knows? We could be frozen solid. We could be thawed. And then plant some each week, maybe every Monday, and be like, every Monday, I'm going to plant this many sunflowers. Lisa said that they plant 1,000 sunflowers a week for 26 weeks. I don't think I would be planting them for 26 weeks here in Montana, probably all through April, May, maybe June. So that would be like 4, 8, 12 weeks. If I just wanted them for blooms, I would plant the June ones. But for April and May, to try to get birdseed. I really need to just pick a day and stick to it with a firm plan for where the seeds are going to go and where which seeds are going to go where before summer starts. Next year, I'll probably plant mostly my seeds, the ones that like I have from this year. I'll try to save a lot of seeds, some of each kind. But, you know, I'm, of course, obviously going to be standing in some store somewhere and say, oh, I just have to try some of these because I'm a total seed buying addict. I would also like to try some colors, like some ones that have like some oranges or some darker colors, like some different shades other than just plain yellow gold, even though I love gold and sunflowers. So those are the five things that I learned about sunflowers planting this year. Make sure you read the packet. Variety matters. Pay attention to the size and planting time, how tall it's going to be. When you cut your flowers is important for your blooms. Cut them before they bloom and plant earlier. So I hope you like this episode of the Organic Gardener Podcast. This weekend, I'm going to the Aero Expo and Workshop, and I'm going to meet other gardeners from all around the state. I'm going to meet Sarah Calhoun's giving the keynote from Red Ants Pants, which is this awesome Montana women's clothing. It's like, if you've heard of Carhartts, they're like jeans and things. She sells work clothes that are specifically designed for women. And she has an awesome story. And I'm also this woman, I think it's Liz Carlisle, and this guy from Timeless Foods. I forgot what his name is. She has a book about lentils. So this weekend, I am going to the Aero Conference, which stands for Alternative Energy Resources Organization, AERO, Alternative Energy Resources Organization, Aero Montana, who are linking people, sustainable agriculture, and energy solutions since 1974. They're a grassroots nonprofit organization, and they're having their annual meeting, and their director, Jennifer Hill Hart, was on my show for episode 74, and she told me about it. I was like, no way, I'm going to go. Sarah Calhoun from Red Ants Pants is going to be there. Red Ants Pants is this really cool business in Montana. She makes women's work clothes. Like, if you've ever heard of Carhartt's, it's like the women's clothes that are designed specifically for women. She's going to be a speaker there. This woman, Liz Carlisle, is going to be there, who wrote a book called Let Down Underground, which is about the changing agriculture in the United States. And also Laura Langnick is going to be there, who's going to talk about climate change and agriculture in the United States or around the world. So I'm super excited to see them. There's going to be a farm tour. We're going to go to Timeless Foods, which David Oren is going to be having a tour. But he was part of the book, the Lentil Underground book that Liz Carlisle wrote, that I'm going to hear about at the workshop. So if anybody lives in Montana, I encourage you to come check it out. They're also having other tours that day. Bob Quinn, who was on my show not long ago, talked about Chemin Organic, super cool biodiesel, and some great snack foods. I got some of Bob's snacks and they're super yummy. They're kind of like, what are those things called? Corn nuts, but a little bit different, more like Rice Krispies, but flavor, corn nut flavor. They're really fun. They're going to have a straw bale house tour that people can go see, something called Gardens from Garbage, which I think is a community garden that the kids get to learn from. So fun things. Oh, and Prairie Heritage Farm is another tour where they have fresh vegetables and things growing. So that's going to be super fun. And then, of course, hopefully I'm going to meet lots of people that can be guests and bring back some exciting news for everybody. So I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'm super excited. Plus, I think I get to go over going to the Sun Pass tomorrow. Can't wait. Everybody have a great week. I hope your garden's going good. I'll bet you're cleaning them up and getting thinking about next year. That's all for now. Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to check out our website, organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And you'll see the links to everything that we've talked about today in the show notes page and all the other episodes there. You can easily search for people by name. You can download our ebook on organic gardening basics and subscribe to our newsletter for updates and just different things that are going on. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow local.